We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we shall read again verse 8. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Amen. In the previous verse, the psalmist addresses words to himself. He is, in a manner, reasoning with his own soul. And that is no wonder, because he has been in great distress indeed. In verse 3 we read, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. But he called upon God, for he was a man of God, and the Lord helped him. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Here is a man who has seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the goodness of God to David was very bountiful. What is this goodness? Is it not the goodness of the Lord in the Saviour, Jesus Christ? Grace laid up for God's people in eternity, in his covenant, and revealed to them in time through his dealings with them, through the Word especially. How do we enjoy the goodness of God unto salvation? Only as we are in Christ Jesus, united to him by the bond of faith, and that faith a gift of God and the work of his Spirit in our soul. So having seen the goodness of God, David now has a token, another token, of the fact that he is the Lord's. These tokens are of great help to God's people, great encouragement to them, as they go on in the pilgrim life, to know that God is with them, that God is for them, and they are going to God. There are troubles aplenty. There are many difficulties in the path of the saints here, but they are not alone. The Lord goes before them. He is behind them. He is underneath with his mighty, everlasting arms, and so his own are secure even in the times of greatest difficulty and distress. Having got this token, David says to his soul, return, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Go back to the peace you formerly had. That's what he's saying to his soul. That's what the Lord's saying to his people through the words of this psalm. Do you know difficulty? Do you know distress? Well, am I not with you? Am I not revealing my goodness to you? My saving grace, my keeping grace. Well, return to your peace. Peace with God and the peace of God in the soul. We are to say with the disciples, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. our blessedness lies in this: staying close to Christ. That is the place where we enjoy rest and peace and the assurance of God's love. In our text, David reminds himself of a deliverance. A deliverance he got from the Lord. It is a threefold deliverance. No doubt he could say this on many occasions. And no doubt we are able to say it too, if we are the Lord's, that God has delivered us in a wonderful way. Well, let us look at David's deliverance and notice the three things he speaks of here. Firstly, his deliverance from death. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. The Lord had delivered David, delivered his very soul. Sometimes that speaks of life, even life in this world, how we are preserved alive by God. He could be speaking of a temporal deliverance he had received from Saul or Philistines or Absalom. But is he not rather speaking of the great spiritual deliverance all men need and which the Lord's people have received in the goodness of their covenant God? We need this deliverance above all other deliverances. Our soul delivered from death. Oh, the death that is before the sinner. The prospect awaiting the guilty. The one who is heedless of his walk and ignorant of God and perhaps defying God willfully and continually. No repentance there. No seeking the Lord's mercy. Death awaits. Not simply the death that all men die, but the death that is died by the unconverted. Those who are still in their sins. This is a fearful death. It is to be cast away by God and cast down to hell, into the utter darkness of that place and that state. And the darkness of it is this: there is no possibility of any deliverance. The deliverance is here and now. The deliverance is by the gospel of Christ. And if we reject that, then there is no deliverance for us in the world to come. But David knew it. By the grace of God, his soul had been delivered from that death by the Lord in his power, in his love. Delivered in Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who himself died for his people. And he suffered for his people. Suffered for their sins. Paid the price for their sins. That though death, the death that all men die, comes to the Lord's people as well, it comes to them in an altogether different way. It does not come to them to take them to perdition. It comes to them to bring them from a world full of trouble and a world full of trials to a perfect world. It opens the way for the soul to go to God into his immediate presence. In an instant, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. Because of Christ, because of his atoning death, there is this deliverance for the guilty and hell deserving. In Christ, life vanquishes death. The life of Christ, imperishable life, that life comes to us in a gracious way by the Spirit. For we live in union with him. We live in our souls as we are joined to Christ. And that life, which is in the soul, and you know it, that life which is revealed in your desire for God, friendship and fellowship with God, walking with God, and the desire you have to be with God, that life vanquishes death. Death, for the unbelieving, is destructive. It destroys every hope that they have. This life that we live here is full of promise. That's how men continue in this world. They're looking forward. They want to enjoy more and they want to enjoy better. And perhaps they will be spared to have something of what their hearts wish for. But if they do not have this life, this gracious life in their soul, their hopes one day will all be destroyed. The hope that the believer has is a lively hope. It is a hope that cannot die. It is a hope based upon the resurrection of Christ. And joined to Christ, we are risen with him. We have this gracious life in our souls. In Christ, strength overcomes weakness. How weak we are in ourselves. Physically, that is true more and more. Old age brings many infirmities and ultimately it issues in death. But there is a strength there for the believer. A strength within his heart. And there's a fight going on against the world, the flesh and the devil, enabled by the grace of God and by God's strength in your heart. You're gaining ground. You're making progress. You're with the church, as we learn of her in the Song of Solomon, coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon your beloved Savior. And this strength often surprises us. We may enter into a time of difficulty and discouragement, and the temptation to be full of remorse and regret and perhaps complaining of the Lord's dealings. But there is a strength whereby we're carried, we're borne up, and we're enabled to go on with the Lord. Not to give way to those temptations to be bitter, to envy the world. Think of Asaph. He was drawn that way for a time. And He was looking at the world, seeing how carefree their existence seemed to be, and he would almost exchange what he had, the burden he was carrying, the troubles he knew, for what they seemed to have. But then he went into the sanctuary of God, into the holy place. He went to worship. He met with God. He was reminded of the great truths of Scripture, the holy and just one who cannot overlook sin. Sin will be punished. Those who do not have God in their thoughts, give him no place in their lives, live only for material things and sensual things, well, God will then destroy. That is what we all deserve. But his own, he will keep. His own, he will bring through their every trouble into his own dwelling place in heaven. Life, gracious life in the soul, strength, gracious strength in the soul. These are evidences to us that the Lord has indeed delivered our soul from death. And we now live in Christ unto God, unto the things to come in a blessed eternity. David's deliverance from death, but also his deliverance from tears. For thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears. Here we have the reality of the Christian's life in this world. It is not that David had no tears. Some would wish to view the Christian life as one of continued joy, with no intermission, nothing to cause any grief, any disappointment. That is not so. You will never find that in the Bible. You will never find that in the godly that you may know. It is rather this: for David and the Lord's people, sorrow was never the prevailing thing. It was not that which dominated the life. If there was sorrow, it was for a season. David says elsewhere, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You could write that as a banner over the lives of God's people. Their experience is like that. There is weeping. There is reason for tears. And the tears may be many and they may be frequent. But joy comes. It comes in the morning. It comes after the time of sorrow, when the believing soul is able to enter again into the Word of God, the promises of the Lord, and the Lord is pleased to draw near, and the Lord is pleased to bring comfort and consolation, and the believer is reminded, if he or she has tended to forget, of the loving kindness of the Lord. And how that loving kindness has no end. Is it so with you? There is weeping. There are tears. Maybe because of some disappointment in life, some illness of a severe, lasting kind. It may be because of some sad bereavement. And the tears are there. And perhaps it is not easy for you to stay those tears. They flow and they flow again. But joy comes. Joy comes because the sorrow does not overcome the reality that is above and beyond every other reality. The reality of the believer's salvation in Jesus Christ. If we know that we are in Christ, well then everything else seen and understood in that perspective. If we are in Christ, we are secure. If we are in Christ, then there is a mansion in heaven for us. If we are in Christ, then one day and one day soon, the final tears will be shed. Then there will be no more. No more. And we shall be in that place where there is no weeping, no sorrow, and no sin. That place of which the Apostle John writes in the book of Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Here is the new Jerusalem, and the covenant of God is perfected. His own are now before him, even before his throne. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And all this in Christ, the one who says, "Behold, I make all things new." Is there weeping now? It will not last. Joy comes in the morning. The Lord sees to that in his rich mercy and grace. The reality of his salvation in his beloved Son, who so loved his own as to give himself for their sins on the cross of Calvary, to secure for them their place in the eternal glory. And then thirdly, we have David's deliverance from falling. "For thou hast delivered my feet from falling." Again, we see the reality of the life of the believer. David was not without stumbling on occasion. And scripture records it. Grievous sin. Shameful sin. But here's the difference. The Lord held up his goings. The Lord kept his soul. Kept him in the way everlasting. David sinned, but his sin was not like the sin of an unbeliever. This is very important. People will often refer to David, sin with Bathsheba. And they'll say, "Well, David was saved." Certainly he was. But what happened after his sin? The Lord came to him with a word from Nathan the prophet. and a word that struck David, wounded him within necessarily, and brought him to repentance. There's the difference. The believer, because of this gracious life in his or her soul, strives against sin, resists temptation, and if, in weakness, the believer succumbs to temptation, then there will be repentance. And the repentance is sincere repentance. There is a godly sorrow, not the sorrow of the world, not mere regret, but a sense of shame at the dishonor that my sin has done to God. I, being one who professes to believe in God and to trust in Jesus Christ and to love the Lord and serve the Lord. In that sense, the sin of a believer is more grievous than the sin of an unbeliever. Strive against it. And if you commit it, repent of it, forsaking it as well as confessing it. Octavius Winslow wrote a number of very edifying works, very much Christ-centered in his thinking and writing. And he spoke of the Christian life in this way. It is a life of faith in which we are going constantly to Jesus Christ. Again and again and again, even daily, going to Jesus Christ by faith. Go to him when the path is rough, that you may walk in it contentedly. Go to him when the path is smooth, that you may walk in it surely. But go to Christ. That is the great secret of the Christian. If we have troubles, we don't keep them to ourselves. We may confide in a fellow believer. Ask another saint on earth to pray for us. But we must confide in God, and we must be thankful and reliant upon this great truth that there is one in glory who ever liveth to make intercession for us, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and he being at the right hand of God the Father, there in the merit of his sacrifice, the perfection of it, he is the guarantee that though the believer may sin, he will be lifted up again from his fall. And this, the believer never falls finally. Some do that. Even those who have professed faith in Christ, they enter into sin, some course of sin, and they harden in that sin, and all the warnings and rebukes and the encouragements and pleadings seem to fall on deaf ears. They may for a time keep up some show of religion, some pretense of Christianity. But the reality is this. Their heart was never savingly changed. And the fall, when it comes, is perhaps one that they never recover from. You can see such figures in the Bible. And we think especially of Judas Iscariot. his shameful end. There had been no real beginning, no gracious life, no renewal in his soul. Dead in sin, falling irrevocably, irrecoverably, but not the true Christian, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, held up by divine grace, holding on his way, the Lord being with him and making progress, as we said, not always as steady as we might wish, but making progress in the right direction, onwards and upwards, towards our eternal rest. David is very aware of the great debt he owes to the Lord, that he is able to say what he says in our text and speak of this great deliverance. And we notice his resolution in the following verse: I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. When you receive a blessing from God, perhaps a particularly striking blessing, you've been in great difficulty, great danger, physically, spiritually, and the Lord has delivered you, it should make you to resolve that you will be more consecrated to Christ, more devoted to him, redeeming the time the Lord gives you in this world, serving the Lord with the gifts and abilities and the grace he has bestowed upon you. That for the rest of your days you will be more faithful to the Lord than you have been. That is what David was resolving. His life would be an open book. Everyone would know to whom he belonged and whom he served. What a deliverance he got from the Lord. And thereafter, what a witness he was. See it in the Psalms. That's David's testimony. All that he was able to say concerning the goodness of the Lord, the grace of a covenant God, the salvation that is in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. May we be able to say the same. May we be thankful to our God. May we rejoice in his so great salvation, even though for a time we experience various troubles and sorrows. Joy comes in the morning from the Lord to his own, and that as a token. Another token of what awaits them in that blessed world to come. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt indeed deliver us out of those various difficulties we encounter along the way that leads thy people to their promised land in heaven. We pray that we would be watchful. We pray that we would be trusting, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in him We would know thy strength and our weakness. May it be so with us that as thou hast delivered our soul from death, eternal death, thou wilt deliver us from our tears, our eyes from tears, and from falling, our feet from falling. Remember us for good, and forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.